All right, we're on. Let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just your word, Lord. I thank you for just giving us just some instructions on life. I pray that you would just allow this book to just transform my life more every day. Lord, I pray that we are a church and really a class, Lord, that just really desires to know you. And not that because we are anything, but because your word is just the revealer of our hearts. So I pray that you would just speak to us this morning. Put me out of the way, Lord. I don't really have a lot to say, but I think you do, God. So I pray that you just speak to us and that you would just be glorified. Lord, I pray for the baptism service today, that you'd calm any nerves that that the people have, Lord, and that you would just get the glory for it. Lord, I pray we as a body would just recognize that this is just their first act of obedience, and that we would just encourage them along the way. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so just a quick update. I just realized this as I was praying, as I was finishing up praying, because I brought it up last week. Brad and Tyler did not die in Mexico of heat exhaustion like they thought they might, and so things went well. They almost got the 2,000 blocks made they would have, except for they ran out of sand. That's kind of an ironic thing for me to say. But anyway, so everything turned out great, and so just as an update, if you were wondering, things went well. And
Huh?
Oh, I guess that happened before he left. He shot himself with a nail gun. I don't know anybody who would ever do that. Brady. Yes, so. The question is, does everybody carry the nail around with them all the time, like Brady does? Okay. Okay, back to this. If you got your Bibles, flip open to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah. So if you are one who is keeping up with our reading through the Bible in a year, you will be in Jeremiah right now. And if you're not, well, you're going to get something out of it today. So I do pray that if you guys have kind of fallen off or gotten behind, that you would just make a commitment to God to, I'll just pick up where we're at and just go from here, and I'll catch what I missed next time, or however that works. But don't get discouraged and say, well, I can't keep up. And, you know, it's only a couple chapters a day, so just stay faithful to it and see what happens. So anyway, Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And so obviously I'm trying to just kind of pick something as that we would be reading each week. And so we're in the book of Jeremiah. And so how many people are where we're supposed to be? Is anybody, Meredith? Good job, Meredith. Lauren? Nikki, Paige. Okay, so several of us are. So anyway, Jeremiah, obviously we're getting into the prophets, right? And some people are like, I just can't read this part of the Bible because, man, I just don't understand what it means and this, that, and the other. And, okay, so here's the deal with the book of Jeremiah. Maybe you can't understand the deep doctrinal, like, what in the world is this guy prophesying about? But if you can't pick up on the fact that this guy is just willing to do whatever God tells him to do and say whatever God tells him to say, no matter what these people think, then you are missing the boat. Because this guy, he's just like, what do you want me to say, God? And he's like, the people aren't going to like that. It's like, yeah, I know. Okay. And it's like every time he goes, okay, God, what's next? Okay, here's what I want you to do. Go tell them that it's the same thing over and over again, right? That there are wicked people that need to get their ways right, or I am going to destroy them. He's talking about the nation of Israel, right? And he's like, yeah, we tried that already, God. No, okay, well, we're going to do it again. So, okay, so he goes, he prophesies, he says, hey, this is what God's got to say about this. They're like, I don't like it, and we want to kill you. And somehow, every time he skates out of it, and then the next day, I'm assuming it's the next day because it's the next chapter, it's the same thing, right? Okay, God, what are we going to say today? That they're wicked people, and they need to straighten up, right? It's the same thing over and over again. It's good stuff, because here's why I think it's good stuff. Because he's just obedient, right? He's just like, okay, God, if that's what you want me to say, I'll say it. How many of us, and I'm not even getting into what I'm teaching yet, could say that's how we live our life? You get up in the morning, and it's like, yeah, I probably screwed up yesterday, God, but what do you want me to do today? Yeah, the people aren't going to like that, right? I just want you to live for me today, Jason. Yeah, the guys at work aren't going to like that. I don't care, do it anyway. All right, right? How many of us could say that's the way we go about our life? Instead, we've got so many other things going on. So anyway, it has nothing to do with anything. So here's what I got for you today, because I'm on a time restraint. I'm excited because Brian's getting baptized today, so I need to not be late for that. So anyway, so here's what I got. 8 reasons your vessel, and you'll understand what I'm talking about in a minute. 8 reasons your vessel will not hold water. Right? And so when we're talking about a vessel today, we're talking about like a clay pot. But in my mind, when I hear vessel, I'm thinking like big ship, right? Because to me, if your pot doesn't hold water, I mean, I guess you spill a little water on the ground. But if your ship doesn't hold water, or it does hold water, then you have a problem, right? And so 8 reasons just that God gave me, I'm sure there's a whole lot more, but this is what God gave me as we read through this, that your vessel will not hold water. And what am I talking about when I say your vessel, before I even get into this? Your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, right? We are the temple. We are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, right here, right? And I'm like, every day, I'm like, God, are you sure that I'm the one you want to use for that? Yep, that's the one. Okay, that's what you... So you are the temple, right? You are the tabernacle of God. You are the vessel, right? You are the ship that is carrying God's work to the people, to the next generation, to whatever you want to say. That's your job. Well, no, it's not really for me. It's for you, Jay. No, I'm telling you, the Word of God in the New Testament says you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That is your job. You are the vessel. So the problem is, our vessel, if we're looking at Jeremiah, and obviously, you know, we're not the nation of Israel, don't get me wrong, what we're talking about today. But inspirationally, you need to see that your vessel, for some reason, it's not keeping the water out, or the water in, whichever one it's supposed to be doing. But that's the problem. So, okay, Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's just get into this, right? And so, verse 1 says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying..." That's how, like, every chapter starts, really close to that, right? God's word came to him, and this is what it says. "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a piece of work on the wheels." Right? And so, we're talking about... Has anybody ever done this? Like, spun clay on a little clay spinny thing, where you make a pot? Huh? Yeah. I don't know exactly what it's called, but... The pot spinny thing? But no, I'm sure if you went to like Silver Dollar City, you could do this, because that's where you do everything that's old, right? So,
like, it's a thing. Like,
oh, it's a thing?
There's places in Kansas City where you can like make an appointment and go make ceramics.
Maybe we should do that as like a Passpoint class. We can all go make pots. Because when I suggested last week that we went ziplining, you all got scared. So maybe we should go make pots.
What happened to laser?
Oh, laser.
Okay. Anyway.
What about that ski ball thing?
We need to do that too. Okay. Sorry, squirrel. I got off track. That's what they're talking about, right? He's making a pot on a little pot spinny thing, right? Potter's wheel. That's what I said. Okay. There you go. See, you should be teaching, not me. So he says he wrought a work on the wheels. See, the Bible even knows what you're talking about. I just don't. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel." So something was wrong with the first one, right? "And it seemed good to the potter to make it." So here's the first reason that your vessel will not hold water. You see yourself as marred, and you're choosing to stay that way. You see yourself as marred, right? Because we are the vessel. So you're going to pick up what I'm throwing down here in a minute. You'll catch on. So you see yourself, your vessel, as marred. There's something wrong with it. There's something that's not quite right in me. There's something that, you know, God must have... He made everybody else perfect. I believe that. But he must have messed up on me, right? Come on now. I'm preaching to the choir, right? God must have done something wrong. I just got a little bit of the, you know... What is it that, you know, Doug Carrier says? I don't have ADD, but I've got DUMB, right? I'm not that smart, but God messed up a little bit. You see yourself as marred, that there's something that must be wrong with you.
I'm sorry.
Candace is attacking Paige. There's something that is wrong with you, and here's the problem. You choose to stay that way. You choose to live in that, right? And so I'll just tell you right now, I had a bunch of references for this, and I took every one of them out because I'm in a hurry and I want to get through this. I don't want to stretch this out. So this is more of just kind of an inspirational thing today. If you want references, you know, get with me and I'll go find them. But I took them all out. But so your past failures, just know this, your past failures, they don't dictate future following. Right? And the world would say, no, you got that statement wrong. Because the world says your past failures don't, you know, they don't mess up your future success, right? There's nothing, success is worthless, right? Your past failures, they don't dictate your future following of Christ. If you've messed up, if something has happened in your life, if something, you've been dealt a bad hand, right? That's why I don't play cards, because somebody always deals me a bad hand. The past failures, they don't dictate your future following, right? Because if you want to know what success is, it's only in the Bible one time. Look it up, right? That's your homework. Find out what it says that a successful person is. And believe it or not, it's not in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. Just throwing that out there. At some point, you have to start seeing yourself as God sees you and not as you see you. We see everything that's wrong with us, right? I see that I could not use any more pounds. I could lose a few pounds, though. I see that, you know, I wish I was better at this. I see that I wish I could manage my time better. I wish I could do... I see all the things that are wrong with me. That's just the way I am. That's the way that we are wired. We have to quit doing that. We have to start seeing what God sees. God doesn't see the things that are wrong with you. He sees the things that you're really good at. And He says, hey, thrive in that area. Hey, use that and glorify me. I'm like, well, I'm not that good at speaking, God. Okay, well, that's fine. Go hold a baby. You don't have to say a word to them. They'll do all the talking, right? Ask Abby. Paige was talking to Abby on the phone yesterday, and I'm like, I don't know what she did to that baby, but I've never heard her cry like that.
She just missed that.
Right? I don't know what it was, but find out what you're good at and thrive there. That's what God wants you to do. God doesn't want you to see yourself as marred or whatever, right? This potter, he's like, this pot's messed up. I'm throwing it out. Well, good thing God doesn't do that. God says, hey, if you're still pliable, if you're still moldable, guess what? We can still make something out of this thing. Right? I guarantee you, if I ever had to make a pot on the little potter's wheel, right? Man, that's going to take a minute. It wouldn't be perfect. It just needs to hold water. Right? If I wanted a perfect one, I'd go to the store and buy one. But it just needs to hold water. That's all you got to do. Right? You got to start seeing yourself as God sees you, not as you see yourself. Okay, moving on. Verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, not me, but Jeremiah, saying, O house of Israel. So I know we're talking to the Jews here, but just kind of inspirational today, right? That's what we're going for, right? O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God's like, hey, you know, if he wants to make it smaller, he just kind of pushes in a little bit and makes it smaller. He wants to make it bigger. Do you not realize that I can do that with you? That's what he's saying. Verse 7, and at what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom and pluck it up and pull it down and destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought in doing to them. God's like, I have control of everything. You're not seeing what I'm seeing. And at what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then it will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Because, like, the power lies in you. Just do a really good job. No, wait, that's not what it says. The power lies in me. I can do whatever I want. If these people, if they glorify me, then I can take all the evil that I said that I was going to throw on, I can take it away. But, you know, here's the next reason your vessel isn't going to hold water. You've forgotten who the potter really is. You've forgotten who the potter really is. You might be like, okay, no. I know, I can go and say, hey, who's God? Well, yeah, God's God, right? I can go to the other hallway, right? Where the class is a whole lot shorter than you are, and they can tell me the same thing, right? Well, what's the answer? Jesus, right? That's always the first answer. I love teaching little lambs, right? Because they boil it down to the main thing every time. Jesus, right? Yes, that is exactly right. Not for this, but yes, that's right. Right? It's not a wrong answer. So yeah, you know who the potter is up here. But do you know who he is through your actions? Because what you're living looks a whole lot different than what you're saying. It just is. We have to realize that if our vessel's going to hold water, then God's going to have to be the guy that's shaping this thing. If you're the one saying, well, you know, I'm not very good at that, so I'm just going to try to do this, right? Well, I need to lose some weight, so I'm just going to go on a diet. I'm going to work my way to be the person that I want to be. Okay. And you're still going to be empty, and you're still going to be... Now, I'm not saying if you want to lose weight, you just pray to God, hey, God, take 20 pounds off of me, please. It's going to take a little bit of work. But just in general, stop trying to do everything your way. Allow God to work through you. Don't ever start to think that you're more than you really are, because God has the power to change everything in an instant. Think about Job. Not that he was thinking he was more highly than he was, but Job had things rolling for him, right? And all at once, God was like, all right, let's see what happens. Now, I know he was working this thing out with Satan at the time, but as soon as you start to think that you're something, that you're somebody, that then that's generally when you... I've seen men, and you notice I say men, I've seen men that I really respected, that I thought could never, and just completely fall. Just completely, right? As soon as you start to think you're something, you need to check yourself, right? You got to. Moving on, verse 11. It says, now therefore, go to, talking to Jeremiah again, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, this saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Once again, he's like, hey, go to them, tell them they're messed up. If they get right, then everything will be okay. This is a message they've heard for chapter after chapter after chapter, right? Verse 12, and they said... Because this is what we say, right? You are they in this book, right? And they said, okay, God, whatever you say. Oh, wait, that's the wrong version. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. I don't believe you, God. I got this. Here's the third reason that your vessel ain't holding the water. You've decided that there's no hope. You've decided that there's no hope. You've decided that, yes, I know what the Word of God says, but I also know the circumstances of my life, and I am
screwed.
Right? I'm done. I am lost. There is no hope. How many people, at some point in their life, not right now, if it's right now, don't raise your hand. Or if everybody else raises their hand, raise your hand. But at some point in your life, I don't want you to be excluded, is what I'm saying. Could say you've thought, there's no hope. There is no hope for what I've got going right now. Right? This situation, I'm done. Right? There's no hope. I've been there. Right? I don't know what in the world we're going to do. Right? I don't know what's going to happen. Well, there's no hope. Your feeling of hopelessness should drive you toward God, not away from Him. That's the difference. A Christian's feeling of hopelessness at times should drive you towards Him, not away from Him. But instead, the world, they say, well, if God would just fill in the blank, then I would believe. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because if you would just believe, then God would. But instead, you want God to jump first. That's not the way He works. Right? That's not the way He works. It should drive you toward God, not away from Him. We follow imaginations of our heart instead of the truth from God's heart, right? We build up stories in our mind. We think, man, this is happening, this is going on, right? I can make up some crazy, wicked stories, right? Like, the other day, and this has nothing to do with this, but I'm telling you, I'm losing my mind, right? It's happening. I don't know what it is, but I was talking to Paige the other day, and I'm like, you remember when you told me that, somewhere dreamed up, I guess, that Tyler and Brad were getting back from Mexico at midnight on Friday night. And I'm like, you told me that. And she's like, no, I didn't. I'm like, no, you did. I don't talk to it. And I sat there for 2 hours, probably. So we were at dinner, and I was messed up the rest of the night because I'm like, if you didn't tell me that, who did? I sat there. We were at dinner. I'm like, where did I hear this at, right? The imaginations of our heart. And then, I mean, obviously that has nothing to do with it, but that's what happens, right? We can build something up in our mind and believe it. Because I believed it. I swear, she's still lying to me, right? I don't even know what time they got home. I need to find out now because it's messed up. The imaginations of our heart are evil heart, right? We're following that. Well, I feel like I should just... Okay, well, let me just stop for a minute and tell you. Take your feelings, throw them out the window, and start rolling with God's feelings. Just try that for a while, right? And a while's more than like 3 seconds, okay? Give it a shot and see how it works, and then just decide which way worked better, okay? We've got to stop following the imaginations of our heart and start getting into God's heart. It's right here. Well, if I just knew what God wanted me to do, man, if I have another person come to me and say, I just really want to know what God wants me to do, and I ask them, hey, are you in the Word? And they're like, I don't know. Then stop coming to me. Go talk to God first. Pray. Ask Him, hey, what do I need to do here? And lo and behold, if you get in the book, there's an answer. Right? No. Well, I can't get an answer out of the Word. It doesn't, you know, I pray to, am I supposed to buy a house? And, you know, I can't find where it says, yes, Jason, you're supposed to buy a house, right? So, I'm throwing my name in the, right. Obviously, you've got to read between the lines a little bit. You've got to, this is a spiritually discerned book. And if you don't have the Spirit of God indwelling you, there's no discernment happening. It's just words on a page. We've got to quit following our evil heart and just get into God's heart, right? Moving on, 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which hath come from a rock in the field, or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Now, it's stuff like that that make you guys say, I can't read the prophets, right? Okay, you don't have to understand the meaning of every single verse to get the gist of what's going on. Maybe next time you read through it, you'll understand it. I'm just throwing that out there. Right? Maybe you can tell me what the cold flowing waters from the other place are, but I don't know right now. Anyway, sorry. Verse 15. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate, and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag their head. I don't know what that means either. Maybe it's like the Indian head bob, right? Lauren's really good at it because she lived there, right? Wag their head. I will scatter them with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them back and not the face in the day of their calamity, right? God's not happy with what's going on. That's what he's getting at. Here's your next reason that your vessel is not holding any water. You've forgotten who God is. You have forgotten who God is. You're like, no, I haven't. Well, maybe not up here. But I'm telling you, in the way that you're living and the decisions you're making, in the way that you're treating the people around you, you've forgotten who God is. Because if you knew who God was, you wouldn't do that. I have to check myself on this, right? I'm like, maybe I got something messed up here, because I wouldn't talk to my wife like that. I wouldn't talk to my kids like that. I wouldn't talk to the guys at work like that if I knew exactly who God was. You know, and it's not like I forgot, not like I didn't lose my salvation under the bed or in the closet or anything, right? You can't do that. You got that thing forever. But sometimes you can forget. Sometimes you can forget the things that you know. That's why we come to church every week. It's not to listen to me, because I got nothing to say. It's not to, you know, see your friends. You can do that outside of this building. We come here to get built up by other believers and to remember the things that we already know. And maybe you just add another thing to our tool belt every now and then. But sometimes I just forget. I just forget who it is that God really is. Because if God really is that holy, mighty, powerful, every name that you can think of, right? Then I wouldn't do this. We forget who He is. We live our lives for us because we forgot what God did. Right? I live my life for me. You know, and not all the time. I try my best to glorify God with everything I do, right? You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, you guys know that's what I try to magnify. That's what I try to live my life by. Can't even talk today. It doesn't always work that way, right? I live my life for me because it's easy, because it feels good, because it's the things that I want to do, right? Because I forgot what God did. Not does, because God does everything. But I forget the things that He's already done. It's easy to say, if you do this, then God will do this. Well, yeah. Then it's a belief kind of thing, right? Do I really believe that that'll happen? I look back at the things He's already done. Those happened. My life changed. I went from this person to this person. I've seen God take people that I thought had absolutely no hope and just use the heck out of them in a good way. We forgot what God did. I'm not even talking about what He's going to do. That's a faith issue. I just forgot. Because if I remembered that God took me from there and brought me to here, then I wouldn't act like that. Then I wouldn't live like that. These people, if they would have remembered, hey, the same God that's telling you, I'm going to kick you right where you don't want to be kicked right now, right? I mean, that's maybe not that's my version, right? If you don't straighten up, and they're like, yeah, maybe so, maybe not, they forgot what He did. They forgot it's the same God that parted the Red Sea, right? It's the same God who fed them manna in the wilderness forever, right? 40 years. They forgot that all the things that He did do that were like completely the only explanation is God, right? Now, maybe you don't have a lot of them, but everybody should have or probably does have something in their life that it's like the only explanation for that is God, right? There's no way that was God. It was a God thing, right? We all got something. And if you don't, well, you're lying because your testimony is enough. He took you from destined for hell, and now you're destined for eternity, right? That's enough of a God thing. But there's other things in life that it's just like, that's a God thing because I have no idea how that worked out. These guys had your God thing like on steroids. They watched God part the Red Sea and they walked through it. Meh, maybe. You know, it could have been like a really strong wind from two different ways that did it. Or, you know, something. I don't know. Maybe it was an earthquake and the water just sucked down really quick and we ran through it. I don't know. How do you try to explain this thing, right? We forgot what God did. The nation of Israel, they forgot what God did. Because if they remembered what God did, they wouldn't be acting like that. But instead, here they are, acting the fool. And you're like, yeah, nation of Israel, you guys are dummies. Okay. Careful who you're pointing that finger at. Because I'm the same way. Yeah, man, if Israel just got their stuff straight, yeah, well, maybe if I just got my stuff straight and I remembered the things that God did, I wouldn't act a fool, right? Now, I know you guys don't have that issue, but I do. So, one day I'll be like you. Moving on. We forgot what God did. Sorry, one more thing on that. We complain about our nation turning from God, right? We forgot who God is, right? We complain about this nation. I read about it all the time. It drives me crazy. Oh, we're a nation that we just need to get back to God, right? You're right, we should. Start by getting in the book. We complain about our nation turning from God, but we can't seem to find time to turn the pages of God, right? Christians are the worst. Now, I'm not trying to get all up on your case, but stop complaining about, oh, they took God out of the schools. Well, you took God out of the home because you can't get in the book. That's where it started. You know, you want to complain about God not being in the schools, hey, you preach, right? But you better make sure you got God in the home. Because Because that's something you can control. Start there. I know you guys are the choir. I'm just preaching to the air. Moving on. Where are we at? Number 5, verse 18. Then said they, because this is what happens every time, right? Jeremiah, go, tell them they're wicked, right? Yeah, okay, God. They almost killed me last time. I know, but they didn't, right? I can just imagine how this went down. So here's where it always comes to every time. Then said they, come, let us devise a device against Jeremiah. They want to shoot the messenger, right? For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. There's just a lot of things in that verse that are just like, really? Right? First off, they're trusting in the priest and the law. They say it right there. Well, it's Jeremiah, though. We're going to trust in the things that we trust in. Even though God's telling you that you're wicked and he's getting ready to smite you, right? Okay, that's the next thing. They're like, let's smite him with the tongue. Is he like a really big dude or something? Or are you just going to, like, I'll just call him a really bad name. And maybe that'll get him. Right? That's what, I don't know. It's just, we're not going to give any heed to his word. Here's the next one. Number 5. This is the reason your vessel doesn't hold any water. You're attacking the messenger because you don't like the message. You're attacking the messenger because you don't like the message, right? You're mad at me for telling you what the book says, right? And not you. I mean, you guys are, you're on track, right? But how often does somebody come rolling in here into the Passpoint class, into any of these classes, right? You see it all the time, and I'm not calling anybody out. But you see the people who bounce from class to class to class, they've been to all of them, and they just like keep making circles. They go until they get offended, and they're like, I'm not going there anymore. And then they go over here, and we'll come to find out that guy's using the same book. Well, I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but we all teach from the same book, right? You're shooting the messenger because you don't like the message. I don't want to tell you. Because if you're coming here, and I mean, I think you guys, you know this because you're back every week, mostly because you like me stumble over my words or whatever, but this is all I got. This is all I got. I got nothing else. If you would have asked me when I got saved, hey, what are you going to do for God in 10 years? You know, what's going to be your ministry? I'd be like, mowing the grass back there so nobody sees me, right? This is not comfortable for me. I don't like doing this. I love to teach the word, but I would rather just like teach to the wall over here. Maybe I'll get it straight. This is all I've got. But you know what God said? Hey, take this and send it. Right? Just send it. And so that's what I do every week. I'm like, I don't think they're going to like that. I was like, just send it, right?
Just send it.
All right. That's how I roll. This is all I got. Well, what do you think about this, Jason? I don't have any idea, right? We had an issue at work. It's been a month ago now, right? You know, I think most of you guys know. All of our floating conveyors flipped over, right? Like $2 million worth of damage, right? Yeah, I know. And they're like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I can't find what it says to do about flipped over conveyors in the Bible. And this is all I got. Ask somebody that gets paid more than me, because that's out of my pay range. You tell me what you want us to do. I don't know. Right? This is all I got. And I know that's a very worldly example, and you know, it's funny, but what about when it comes to, you know, hey, Jason, can we get together and just chat? You know, I got problems in my marriage, right? I got problems with this. I got problems with that. Same story, guys. This is all I got. And I'm going to give you what this says. And that's all I got. I ain't got no wisdom, right? The only reason that Paige and I have been married for 15 years is because of this book. You know it's not from my knotheadedness, right? It's this book. That's all I got. No matter what it is, that's all I got. That should be all you got, right? You're attacking the messenger because you don't like the message. A change of scenery will not change the message, right? And I know you guys know that, right? But a change of scenery... No, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, right? If it comes to a point where you know, hey, it's time to, you know, God is moving me, you know, to a different church, or God is moving me to a different class or a different ministry. That happens, right? So don't get me wrong. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. What I am saying is the people that you see bounce around to different churches or different classes, they're there to get their ears tickled, right? And I don't know how to rub people's ears, so it's just how it works, okay? The word is not going... I have that written down wrong because that's not right. The word will change you. I know what it says. Okay, the word's not going to change for you. Okay. The word's not going to change you. And I'm like, yes, it is. Who wrote this? The word's not going to change for you. The question is, are you going to change for the word? Right? Sorry, that was a really good point that I screwed up because I can't type. Right? The word's not going to change for you. It's not going to be like, oh, I didn't realize that that was going to happen in your life. Now, let me put amendment, you know, 3 Thessalonians, you know, chapter whatever in there for you.
When your stuff flips over and...
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't happen. That's really good, Chris. The word's not going to change for you. The question is, are you going to change for it? Because at the end of the day, we're supposed to have our life lined up with this. And it's not going to change for you, so what does that leave, right? Process of elimination here. What's going to have to happen? I don't know. Number 6, okay. Chapter 19, I gotta hurry here. So I'm skipping the rest of chapter 18. So chapter 19, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle. So now he's like, hey, just go get one that's already made, right? And take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priest, and go forth in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. Once again, same thing. Go tell them they're wicked, right? Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and the which whatsoever, in the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. Because they've forsaken me, and have a strangest place, and have burned incense in, after other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and they filled this place with blood of the incense. They have built also the high places of Baal, and burnt their sons with fire for burnt offerings into Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came I into my mind. So he calls them out for their sin, right? And you're like, okay, why are you reading that to me? Well, here's why. Here's the next thing. Your vessel won't hold water, because you're serving other gods. Right? Pretty plain and simple. You're serving other gods. Well, no, I'm not. I come to church every week. Okay, you're serving other gods, right? Your God has become religion. Your God has become whatever, right? Just fill in the blank. I'm moving quickly. We've all got, because this is the problem, right? If I just had more time, that's always everybody's answer, right? I was talking to Nick about this yesterday, right? If there was like 30 hours in a day and 10 days in a week, I think I could get everything done. But it doesn't work that way. No, I probably wouldn't. You're right. But nobody's asking you right now, Chris. It sounds good in my head. Oh, I don't know what happened. Okay, we've all got 24 hours in a day. The question is, how much of that does God get compared to other things? Right? Now, I know, we got jobs. I got a job that says I have to be there for so many hours. I get it. But there's some other things in my life that are getting more time than God's getting. And they're not required. I'm serving other gods. Right? That's just the way it is. I'm serving other gods. Every little g in the world, you know what I mean? Everything that's not God, because it's little g, right? Every little g. Every one of them put together is not going to compare to the big G. Right? Make some time to get in the Word. Some. I know. It's hard. We're busy. Make some time to get in the Word. Chapter a day, 2 chapters a day, whatever it is for you, right? Make some time to get in the Word. We're serving other gods. That's just what he's saying. I'm moving on. I ain't got time. Verse 6. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, but the nor the valley of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. So he just basically says, it's not good, guys. I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword by their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give meat for the fowls of heaven and the beasts of the earth, and I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hissed because of the plagues thereof, and I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat everyone the flesh of his friend, and the siege of straightness wherewith their enemies, and they shall seek their lives and shall straighten them. So basically he says, you're so jacked up that it's bad, right? I just read it, right? It's bad, right? You guys are messed up. God's like, I don't know any other way to put it. Jeremiah, go tell them. Y'all got a problem. Right? Number 7. This is why your vessel don't hold water. The counsel of God has become void to you. That's what it says, right? It says in verse 7, and I will make void the counsel, right? The counsel of God has become void to you. The second you think that this book, right? The second you think this book is outdated, it's already become void in your heart, right? How many times do you hear people say, yeah, I know that's what the Bible says, but, you know, society's different now, right? You're right. God didn't know that was going to happen, right? Maybe we should just, like, call him and tell him that he should send us a new revelation, right? And then they're like, oh, he already did. It's in this new Bible. The second you think this book is outdated, it's already become void. And let me just boil it down because I don't have time. You either believe all of it from beginning to end, everything it says. You either believe all of it, that God saved your soul, that Jonah was swallowed by a whale and the whale didn't like the way he tasted, so he spit him out, right? All of those things happened, right? He parted the Red Sea. All the crazy things that you just can't hardly believe, right? That Noah built an ark when there had never rained before, right? You either believe everything that this book says, or you don't believe any of it. It's one or the other. That's what it boils down to. It's plain and simple. And you're like, no, there's not. Okay. Like, there's. Like, I've always told you guys, you need to have some things that you're willing to stand. Now, that's a hill I'm willing to stand and die on. Come tell me that only some of this book is valid. I will die on that hill. This book right here is what God gave you. And every last thing, the crazy and unbelievable, are there for you to understand that the crazy and unbelievable can happen in your life. Right? Come on, guys. You either believe all of it or none of it. Pick one. But stop being a lukewarm Christian because you're giving me a bad name. And you're giving all your other brothers and sisters a bad name. Pick one and roll with it. When she does that, I've taken it from you. It's like Brady's going... All right, last one. I got to get done. Verse 10. Ooh, sorry, that's the wrong one. Okay, verse 10. Then shall they break the bottle, right? So he tells him. He's okay, so you guys weren't understanding the moldable clay thing. So here, take him a solid pot, a bottle, right? And show him this is what I'm going to do. He says, then shall break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. Take it and throw that thing on the ground. Let it shatter. And say unto them, thus shall the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and the city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot make whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet, and there shall be no place to bury, right? And it goes on, and the chapter finishes up. It's like, if y'all don't straighten up, you see this? That's you, right? This is like an object lesson. This pot, I'm breaking it. That's going to be your head if you don't straighten up. Pretty much is what he's saying. Here's the last one, because I got to get done. You don't believe, your vessel doesn't hold water because you've been broken. You've been broken. I was serving God, and something happened, and man, just everything went to crap, right? I was just broken, right? And God can't use me anymore, right? I was serving and I was doing everything right, and you know, this happened in my life, right? This happened, right? Or how many times do you hear that? I totally believe the Word of God, but then this happened, or this one thing happened, and I just can't explain it. I can't explain everything either, but God can. You've been broken. Here's what I mean by that. If you ever become unmoldable, you let that clay set up, and you're like, nope, this is the way I am. I'm this Christian. I can't change. I won't change. This is who God made me to be. This is how I am, right? If you ever become unmoldable, God will break you into pieces so that he's got something to work with. If you ever say, that's just who I am, right? Ryan Clark said something really comparable to this a few weeks ago, and it like really struck my heart. I'm just not good at managing time. Because your iPhone doesn't work like mine, we've all got the same app, right? We just choose not to use it. We choose to say, that's just how I am. No, that's who you choose to be. If you ever become unmoldable, if you let that clay set up, you're like, well, I thought that was supposed to be. I was supposed to be like Jesus. Okay, well, you haven't arrived yet, so make sure you got a little bit of mold left in your clay in case you see something else you can change to be more like him. God will break you into pieces so that he's got something to work with. Because what do? They break all that down into pieces, and they stomp it all up, right? And then they got something fine and powdery. And then what do? They can put water back in that thing, and they can mold it back up. God's like, hey, if that's how you're going to be, if you're going to be hard-hearted, hard-headed, right? That's me. I'm going to break it, and we'll start over. Be willing to be what God wants you to be, instead of telling God what you can be used for. That's what we do. Well, I can't do that, God. I'm just not good with words. That's what Moses said. And God's like, hey, just stop. You didn't even say that without stuttering, Moses. Right? He didn't say that, but... He's like, hey, just find out what God wants you to do. I think I want to get in the ministry. Okay. Pray to God. What do you want? Well, I can't work with kids because I'm scared of them, and I can't clean because, the vacuum, it's really loud, and I can't mow the grass because, I don't like it, and I can't, talk to people because they're weird, and so, you just go down the list. I mean, come on. We tell God, I'll do anything for you, but don't do this, this, or this. How about instead you just say, hey, God, what do you want to use me for? And then just do that. Just try that. Right? So that's what I got. 8 reasons that your vessel doesn't hold water. And I'm not saying that your vessel, like y'all are doing a good job. But we as Christians, that's where we're at, guys. We've got heart problems. And that's the issue. Okay, so let's pray and get out of here because I was supposed to be done 10 minutes ago. And we'll roll. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would just take these 8 points and just make sure that we're not living these things. God, that these would be, that we would be vessels of honor for you, that we would be able to carry the word wherever you want it to go. God, I pray that we don't have holes in our vessel. God, we need to either keep the water in or keep the water out, whichever one you're telling us to do, and that we would be used by you. I pray that you just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that you would just use us as the Passpoint class just to reach those that need to hear it. God, it starts with us. I pray that you would just use us. God, I pray for the baptisms this morning, that you would just give boldness to those who are getting baptized, that it would be just a sweet time as they just step out in faith and say, you know what, I am a believer, and this is the first way of me showing that. So I pray that we would just come around them, love on them, Lord, and that you would just get the glory for it in Christ.